Live video, and we're live. Hello, happy Friday afternoon, uni fellowship. Bit late getting to this week. I meant to do it on Monday, but then I don't know why I didn't do it on Monday. I didn't want to. That's why. And so here I am on Friday, just getting up the comments and the video on my computer too, because for some reason it's hard to see those on my phone. Good afternoon. Anyone there? So I thought, as always with these little lives, it's just an opportunity to sort of check in and connect with everybody in a bit more of an informal way. So feel free to just say hi and any comments, any questions, whatever you got. I thought I was going to sort of spend a little bit of time chatting with you about evangelism. So a bit of terminology here. Evangelism is talking to people about the good news of Jesus. It's sharing, it's proclaiming the good news. Evangelicalism is a description for Protestant Christianity, Reformation Christianity, but particularly Protestant Reformation Christianity in the shape it has taken since the 18th century, with a strong focus on the saving death of Jesus, the necessity of a individual, authentic, personal response of faith, a commitment to mission and activity in the wider world, the kind of shape of things like uni fellowship. We're a Protestant Reformed Evangelical Christian organization. So that's evangelical. If you're wanting to be evangelical, then that's a kind of a doctrinal position. Whereas evangelism is a evangelism is an activity. It's sharing the evangel that evangelicals believe, right? And so I'm going to talk about evangelism. And maybe as a way to start, I thought I'd share with you a couple of books. I mean, I don't have a massive library. I tend to just borrow books and things, but a couple of books about evangelism that are good reads. So the most recent one that you might have come across is a book called Evangelism in a Skeptical World by Sam Chan from City Bible Forum up in Sydney. And this is a really great introduction to a whole lot of stuff about, it's got like little charts and tables and all sorts of bits and pieces of advice about thinking about evangelism in a range of ways, especially in the kind of world we're in now that's not Christian, that's post-Christian, and increasingly doesn't even have heaps of like biblical knowledge and stuff. So Evangelism in a Skeptical World is a good introduction to thinking about a bunch of issues related to evangelism. How does evangelism relate to different types of gospel presentation, everyday life? How do you tell the gospel in different kinds of ways? Maybe a little bit of a soft criticisms of the book. I mean, it's a really great book, but some soft criticisms of it. One is it doesn't talk a whole lot about church working together for the cause of evangelism. More of that in a second for another book I'm about to recommend. And another weakness of it is it runs the risk, I think, of giving you the impression that talking about Jesus' death, bringing forgiveness and rescuing guilty human beings from the wrath of God as being part of the gospel, it's so interested in saying there are many ways to approach evangelism, many ways to express the gospel, that I think you can run the risk of kind of the wrong person could read this book and go, oh, you don't really have to talk about forgiveness of sins and the wrath of God necessarily. And I would want to say that the more evangelism you're doing over a longer period of time, the more that emphasis will come out, no matter who you're talking with. So evangelism, that's one book on evangelism. Feel free to write any questions you have. If you want to write questions about your experiences of evangelism, what you find difficult in evangelism, or things you've always wondered, just feel free to like write comments in the chat, and also just type in the chat and tell me what you're up to. Are you procrastinating from something? Are you, are you on public transport? Are you, whatever. Just let us know what you're up to. Let us know any questions. Second book about evangelism that I really love is Promoting the Gospel by John Dixon. It's also sometimes known the best kept secret of evangelism or something like this. Hey, Christine. And this book, just for the kind of introduction alone, Confessions of an Overeager Evangelist, is really worth reading. Confessions of an Overeager Evangelist, because it frames John Dixon's personal experience of going from a culture in Sydney Anglican evangelical Christianity where there's a strong emphasis on every Christian has to be an evangelist. And he kind of says, oh, but is that quite how the Bible talks about it? You know, what is the biblical way of thinking about evangelism? I think he makes a strong case. He corrects Sam Chan's emphasis, where Sam's an itinerant personal evangelist and a public speaker. Although John actually is as well, what his book corrects with Sam's emphasis is he talks about the whole churches, the different parts to play in evangelism. The hidden mission of prayer, promoting the gospel with our money, through the good deeds of the church, through Christian behaviour, the local church and evangelism, all that kind of stuff. That's a really cool book to check out. And that made me think there's another cool little book about evangelists somewhere up on my bookshelf, but it's tiny. Forget about it. So that's really great. If you want to get a picture of the whole church working together for evangelism, promoting the gospel is great. And then the final one, with a really old school retro cover. I was given this, actually, there's a few books I was given by the guy who had my job back in the late 90s. There was one guy working on staff for Uni Fellowship back in the late 90s called Pete Woodcock from the UK, and he played a huge part in me becoming a Christian. And he left me with some books when he moved back to England, and one of them was this. Look at that cover. How about that? Rebecca Manley Pippitt out of the Salt Shaker. That's glorious, isn't it? That's been expanded and updated and modified and all that kind of stuff. She now works in the... Although she's American, she now works in England with the UCCF, kind of like AFES in England. And I remember reading this book. I remember reading John Dixon's book in the mid-2000s and going, oh, yes, wow, this captures things that I felt like we were kind of sort of getting wrong in our overemphasis on individual evangelism. Really helpful. And an over-intensity in evangelism. Really helpful. I remember reading this in the late 90s as a uni student, super keen to evangelize, but super nervous and complicated about how tricky it is. And Becky just has a really down-to-earth, relatable, realistic, but inspiring way of just talking about, here's what you do in evangelism and here's what you don't do. Here's what you can do, here's what you can't do. You don't have to push and drive everything and make everything become evangelistically effective. Just do your thing, serving Jesus, and evangelism will come. Out of the Salt Shaker. Isn't what a cool title too? Out of the Salt Shaker. We are the salt of the earth, as Jesus says, the light of the world, but we're stuck in the salt shaker. Time to shake that salt out. Okay, we've got a couple of comments here. Andy's saying, hi, working away in another window, so not my window, in a window at his place, or maybe at Wellspring, doing the half watch thing. Yeah, well, that's what we all do, right? Half watch, half listen, half pretend to work. Christine Jolly says, Becky Pippitt has a new book now called Cornet Salt Sugar Coffee. Called Stay Cornet Salt. I think Christine has have you ended up kind of stay you ended up tagging like some Facebook group or Facebook page. what does it, if you click on that, where does that take you to? Cornet Salt Sugar Coffee. Where is that? That's a coffee shop in Hobart. Are they any good? Cornet Salt Sugar Coffee, Christine. What she meant was stay salty. So yeah, Becky Pippitt, big fan. There's some books on evangelism. Keen to hear what you're up to, everybody, as you're watching. What are you doing? Where are you? What are we up to this afternoon? But also keen to hear your questions about evangelism or your experiences of evangelism, if you want to share them as well. Stay salt, Christine says, is essentially people have gotten out of the salt shaker and made friends but aren't confident to actually have the conversation. Yeah, cool. Yeah, you know, I think with evangelism, there's... Bottom line, there's two types of people, you could say, in terms of everyday Christians. There's those who have lots of connections with non-Christians and want to know, how do I make the most of those? Where actually it's the nerves, it's the fear, it's the how much do I have to say, how do I say it, how do I bring it up, that kind of person. Or there's the person that just doesn't know anyone who's not a Christian. And I think of the people who watch this video... there'll probably be people in both of those categories. Maybe you can say which one you tend to be. Are you a person who has the non-Christian friendships and are working out how to be a Christian in those relationships and be vocal as a Christian? Or are you the person that doesn't really have many non-Christian relationships? So let's start with the person who doesn't have any non-Christian relationships. And you know, you're in the salt shaker, you could say. You're active, heaps active in church, active in prayer, active in giving, godliness and Bible study and service, but you just don't know many non-Christian friends. I think it's important to say, as John Dixon would say, that all of us need to have what he calls a salvific mindset, which means you're concerned for the salvation of the world. You should be concerned for the salvation of the world as Jesus, every Christian ought to be. And so, yeah, you should pray. And our fellowship groups, are you in a fellowship group? Our fellowship groups are evangelistic prayer groups. That's one of the big things they do, be praying for mission, praying for evangelism. Give to support it as you have money. You could support our AFS staff, missionaries around the world, your local church, and support the cause of evangelism. And that might be by being in a band or being in Sunday school or supporting in some kind of other way. Do you know what I mean? So you don't have to personally, or not every Christian must be like this amazing person with all these networks of friends who aren't Christians and all these amazing evangelistic conversations. We're just not like that, all of us. And that's okay. However, it's as I want to love people, love Jesus, share in his mission, why would I not want to pray to be able to contribute in all sorts of ways? I should be thinking in the friendship, in friendships as well as in these other ways. So how do you build non-Christian friendships? Well, part of it is just actually being prayerfully alert to bumping into people in your life, to just thinking, who are my neighbours? Who are my classmates? Who are my workmates? What are the rhythms and routines of my life? And actually being more thoughtfully, prayerfully open to just connecting with people. You know, I mean, this is more kind of social skills, you could say. How to make friends, how to love people. You know, last time I did one of these, I talked about a really dated, daggy, but excellent book called 7 Habits of Highly Effective People, which is actually a very good book, just with a bit of a cheesy title. Well, there's an even cheesier titled book that I might even have on my bookshelf somewhere. it almost sounds like a joke book. It's so cheesy. I can't see it easily. It's called How to Win Friends and Influence People. Oh, what a horrible title. How to Win Friends and Influence People by Dale Carnegie. Yeah, there it is. How to Win Friends and Influence People. Over 250,000 copies sold in Australia. When was that? what a terrible title, right? First published in 1936, revised edition 1981. So this is old school stuff. Cheesy title, but actually a good book in a sense that it's one of many, many books out there. I mean, there are WikiHow pages and stuff about this too, right? You don't even, you know, about how to just, like, connect with people, listen to people, be winsome, be interested, make conversation, chit-chat, all that kind of stuff. And so, as Christians who are loved by God, saved by God, God took the initiative with us to save us. God calls us then to love our neighbour. Our neighbours are God's creatures, reflecting something of the glory of God. As I get to know my neighbour, my classmate, my family member, my workmate, I'm getting to know someone made in God's image. What a precious thing, you know? And so that mindset gives me an extra reason to want to be friendly, to love people, and to, through those friendships, be influential in people's lives, not manipulatively, but out of love. And so that cheesily titled book actually gives some fairly practical, basic advice about how to be more emotionally intelligent and generous in your relationships. The Book of Proverbs speaks about that, doesn't it, in different ways. I mean, asking questions is a big one that Sam Chan talks about in his book, just being a person who asks more questions. If you do the combination of asking more questions and volunteering more about yourself, then those two things together will go a long way in terms of actually turning a classmate into an acquaintance, into a friend, turning a workmate into an acquaintance, into someone you actually are talking about your life with. So yeah, if you're a Christian who doesn't know many people who aren't Christian, then actually that process of praying about the people you come into contact with and being interested in the people you come into contact with, being generous with the people you come into contact with, and you'll be surprised what might come your way. So that's the first kind of area of evangelism. It's not really evangelism yet, but it's the process of being a Christian who is deliberately connected with more of the world than just my Christian world. Again, keen to hear your questions about evangelism, your experiences, your advice, or just what you're up to while you're watching this Facebook Live. Just you can tap that away in the little Facebook thingo here. So that's one type of person, right? Where you just don't know many people who aren't Christians, and so you just being a bit more consciously, thoughtfully, interestedly, deliberate with the people in your life is a great next step. You may possibly, if there's not many in your classes you connect with, and your work people are at a different age and stage, so you don't really connect with them, you may actually even choose as a Christian to deliberately step into something new. So I've heard of Christians deliberately always going to the same cafe or something at the same time every week to sort of slowly build a bit of a village habit. And you start to get to know others who do the same thing. Picking up a hobby, maybe even like, I don't know, if you, sometimes Christians end up like in a Christian church soccer league. Why not join just a regular soccer league? So that you can get to know people who aren't Christians rather than just playing soccer with Christians. There's things like this you can do. On the other hand, there are people who are in lots of relationships with people who aren't Christian, and then going, well, how do I then make the most of that for the cause of Christ? Should I be preaching at them all the time somehow, handing out flyers to them all the time somehow? How do you actually, do the evangelism bit with friends and contacts that you have? Again, feel free to sort of type away comments and questions of your own. Tell me what you're up to this afternoon. Tell me what your experiences of evangelism are, one way or the other. It's way more interesting if you guys comment too. But I guess the one thing that I really want to be saying with opportunities to evangelize with the people who are in your life, family members, friends, classmates, is you're not. Sounds almost naughty to say, but you're not responsible for making someone a Christian, making someone interested in Christianity, making someone want to talk about Christianity, making someone want to come to a Christian event. You can't do that, And a lot of energy, a lot of nervous energy and intensity and fear and awkwardness in relationships comes when we try to make something happen that's not going to happen. It's like inviting someone, like a friend maybe. You say, oh, would you like to come to citywide gathering? So we're going to do a face-to-face citywide gathering, kind of lathered in hand sanitizer and 1.5 meters apart. We're going to do a citywide gathering on the 23rd of July. So you invite someone along and they awkwardly, politely, embarrassedly say, yeah, maybe, yeah. And then you get really excited. Wow, I got up the courage and I asked a classmate to come to citywide gathering. Good on you. And you're praying for them in your fellowship group and you're nervously looking forward to it. And then you, well, how do I make sure they do come? Do I remind them a week out? And then they awkwardly, politely go, yeah, maybe. And then the day before you say, oh, can I pick you up? Oh, no, there's no need. Well, how about I meet you there? Oh, no, there's no. Everything about the person's body language and reaction is saying they actually don't want to come at all. And you're squeezing them into a corner. And it's awkward for them. And if you're aware of that, you're feeling awkward, but you feel like that's what it means to be a zealous Christian, is to end up in awkward social situations. And it's a painful experience, and surprise, surprise, the person probably doesn't come, or maybe they come once just to get you off their back. And then what do? You invite them to the next thing, and then that goes around again. Or they don't come, and then what do you follow up? Oh, I missed you. Why weren't you there? And then they awkwardly come up with a half dishonest reason why and it's all painful. A lot of that, I think, just leave it, just let it go. You don't have to be all salesy in seeking to share the gospel of Jesus. You want to pray for opportunities, look for opportunities, seize opportunities, give opportunities, all of that stuff. But if someone's not interested, if they say they're not interested, don't push it. Don't put a foot in the door to keep the door open and No, don't do that. Or if they say they're interested but they're not really, just leave it. It's being open, willing, courageous, but also trusting, patient, humble. The people I've seen who've become Christians because Christians have been out there in the world, loving and courageous in holding out an invitation, courageous, and then thoughtful presentations of the gospel and evangelistic courses or hangouts and chats and Q&As, deliberate and persuasive. But those people in that whole process have been open, have been interested, have been willing. Whereas very rarely do I see the awkwardly hassled, pushed into it person become a Christian, or if they do, stay a Christian. Like the evangelism does happen because God is working, the Spirit is blowing, and you go with that. And if that door doesn't open, then you don't need to force it. Now, look, some of us are more pushy personalities than others, more salesy personalities than others. And so our whole manner, whether it's talking about computers or mobile phones or cars or sourdough bread or permaculture or Christianity, in everything we're very over the top and energetic. So the scale of what this looks like will look different depending on how God has made us. And yet still I'd say it's actually being willing to be used by God as the opportunity comes up. Hang on, just seeing there's a comment here from Andy. What you think some of the fears are that hold people back from evangelism? So I think one of the big fears is what I'm just saying, is actually worrying about, is a fear of the awkwardness and the pain caused by the awkwardness when you're being overly intense because you think you have to. That you think you have to be this intense salesy person because of hell and heaven and what would you do and shouldn't you do anything, be willing to do anything. That kind of, we put that pressure on ourselves and we know that that will cause social awkwardness and that's frightening. Of course it's frightening. You're being weird. You think you have to be weird to be a faithful Christian and you know that others will respond properly to weirdness and get weirded out and that holds you back. So I think that's a big fear. And I want to say, don't worry about it. Let it go. You be you. You be a godly Christian, open, honest Christian. You be you. And let God do the rest. Another fear, though, is people being afraid that if they say they're a Christian, they'll be thrown questions they don't know how to answer. They'll be rejected. That they, if they try and invite someone to something, someone will kind of get aggressive and angry at them, all that kind of stuff. Yeah, fair enough. That's a legitimate fear. And that is, you see, whereas the kind of being overly intense in evangelism, I'd say, no. Be gentle, be considerate, be courteous. But it is true that the wrong person, you bring up you're a Christian and they launch into you with their anti-Christian opinions or they throw every question they've ever had at you and you go, oh, I don't know how to answer these questions or they get angry because of a terrible experience with, I don't know, like abuse in the church or something. And so that's where we do need to be courageous. I would want to say, if you've got a lot of non-Christian classmates, workmates, friends, you need to figure out how do I get out of the salt shaker and be honest that I am a Christian. How do I talk Christianly? How do I be upfront that I'm a Christian? Talk about my faith. Talk about going to church. Talk about uni fellowship. Extend invitations when it's appropriate. And yeah, sometimes, not as often as you might think, but sometimes you'll get people asking you questions. You just have to say, to be honest, I don't know the answer to that. Why don't you listen to this audio or come along to this event or meet this friend of mine? They'll be better at answering those questions. Or let me look it up, I'll research it and I'll come back to you. Sometimes that'll happen and that's okay. Sometimes someone will be aggressive and it's horrible when someone's aggressive for whatever reason. People get aggressive for all sorts of reasons, don't they? Those of you who work in customer service, you know what it's like when customers get unfairly aggressive. What can you do? What can you do? And so what an honor to have that aggression, not just because you work in customer service, but for the sake of Christ, what an honor, And you don't need to enter into that person's aggro. You just need, that's their aggro. You just calmly, kindly, prayerfully, bear with it, turn the other cheek, love your neighbour, keep some clear boundaries. So go, okay, sure, all right, I can see you're upset, we'll leave it there, you know, and that's okay. So some of this stuff, you know, it's a fear of a negative reaction, a painful reaction, and yeah, sometimes that happens, and we need to be willing to do that for the sake of Christ. Christine's got another comment here. There's a current vibe that evangelism is morally and ethically wrong. Yeah, that's interesting, isn't it? I'd be curious to hear how many people feel like that's the case. I wonder with that, I really wonder, there's a lot of blurring that goes on in words, right? So, for example, proselytizing as a word, that just means evangelizing. That just means trying to recruit somebody. So it's a fine word, but it's come to mean doing it in a particular kind of way, Bible bashing, you know? And so that blurring has happened where all forms of evangelism have been blurred together in Bible bashing. That always happens, right? Things get blurred up together. I mean, it's happening, I feel like, a lot at the moment in white Western culture and progressive culture. You know, what are examples? Well, racism or sexism is now used as a term to describe not only prejudice, but also systemic problems that don't necessarily arise out of anyone's particular prejudice, but are the results of all sorts of historical forces. Both are a problem, both should be thought about and addressed, but they're quite different things. And so saying someone's sexist or racist for this reason or that, quite different things, you know, or harm and aggression and violence now get used to describe upsetting somebody, deeply upsetting somebody, and physically damaging somebody. They're all quite different things, you know, they all blur together. And so I feel like it's a bit the same with evangelism. It's morally and ethically wrong to colonize another person's personal space, mental space, cultural space, and just force Christianity onto them in that kind of an aggressive, unlistening, disrespectful way. That is morally and ethically wrong. But I want to say to you, and I want to encourage you to say to your classmates and friends, in the more light, ethical, respectful, general sense, persuasion happens all the time. We're always proselytizing. We're always evangelizing. We're always persuading and learning and listening. And that's what Christians are seeking to do in evangelism. Not Bible bash, not capital P, proselytize, not violence with words and using truth as power, not colonizing another person's personal space, mental space, cultural space, but seeking to present to them the Word of God into this world, a word of mercy. Andrew Maskell, what aspects of the gospel do you think we could be misunderstanding or might need to know better, grow in maturity, and perhaps to help us see the value and importance of sharing our faith, making friends, and prioritizing time with those who don't identify as Christians? Wow. Yeah, long question. Feel free, by the way, any non-uni fellowship staff to type in comments, questions, and experiences as well. We're talking about, hey, Anna just joined, and hey, Karina as well. Isn't this fun how we can say, and hey, Philippa, fun how we can see people from around the state. Something like this is pretty cool, isn't it? I think all aspects of the whole counsel of God, it all hangs together, and all of it affects our approach to evangelism. So look, the eternal wrath of God in hell, conscious torment of being shut out from the presence of God and subject to the wrath of God, a kind of collapse of all the common grace of this world as humans experience this kind of eternal destruction. Belief in the judgment of God and knowing that salvation comes in no other name than the Lord Jesus, that moves you to be committed to world mission and local mission, doesn't it? The glories of eternal life and resurrection from the dead and the new creation, that's a wonderful thing. That should move you to evangelism, shouldn't it? Seeking to worship God and for his name to be honoured and for more people to bow the knee to the Lord Jesus Christ, that should honour you in evangelism. A recognition that those around you are made in the image of God should be loved and fascinating and interesting and needy, and they're not just objects of desire or obstacles to your success. That should motivate you in evangelism. I believe that the word of God is good and precious and honey and wisdom and worth more than rubies. A desire to share really good, true, beautiful things from God's word. That should motivate you to evangelism. I could go on and on, couldn't I? An opportunity to use the gifts that God has given you for the purpose that he's given them. That amongst the many reasons he's given you his spirit and your tongue and your ability to type language is so that you can make his praises known to the world. That should motivate you in evangelism. You see, I think almost we could go through any of the truths and realities of Christianity and see how a deeper, like an awareness of sin, a realization that all of us are rebels against God, whether we're nice people or wicked people, you know, and we're all underneath that variety of life, enemies against God. And so when I look at a really smart, sophisticated friend who's not a Christian, that I look up to in lots of ways, but they're not a Christian, I need to go, hang on, they, like me, are by nature objects of God's wrath and handed over to evil desires of our hearts. We're children of Adam and Eve. Do you know what I mean? And that should motivate me in evangelism. I could go on. So I hope that helps a bit, Andy. I mean, even the church, an awareness that the church is not in glory yet. We're saved, but we're preserved in this world. Isn't that interesting? That God doesn't save us and translate us to heaven like Enoch or Elijah or Moses. But he leaves us in this world, you know. Why does he leave us in this world? Again, as salt of the earth, as light of the world, in order to actually be his mouthpiece, be his instruments of salvation in a world before Jesus returns. Thoughts on evangelism there. Keen to hear any other questions you guys have in terms of evangelism, comments, questions. Look, a big thing that I do is just share a bit and see what happens. So I aim to tell everybody I know that I'm a Christian. Like, obviously it's easy because I work as an evangelist. So what do I do for a job? I'm an evangelist, you know. I mean, if you want to see what it's like, you can listen to my rollerblading podcast, where that's not a Christian thing at all. That's just me talking about an action sport. But Christianity comes up in it from time to time, and you'll hear me talk with like an atheist rollerblader from America, and my Christianity will come up, and I'm not evangelizing, but I'm still I'm still talking about Christianity through it. So I'll do that. I'll just bring it up. I'll talk about my prayer, my church, my work, my things Jesus said, stories in the Bible, proverbs from Ecclesiastes, you know, and those things will just come up. And as that happens, some people just go, huh, okay, sure, you know. But then some people go, oh, well, tell me more. You know, and then they're showing interest. And then rather than me trying to change the subject, because I get nervous, because you know, Becky Pippitt tells this classic story at the start of this somewhere where she tries to run a Bible study for like Christians, I think it is, in her residential college. And like no one comes, I think, except for like a non-Christian. And so then she's stuck reading the Bible with like a non-Christian. Really awkwardly, and she doesn't want to do it, and then eventually the person who's not a Christian who's coming to this Bible study that was a failure says she wants to become a Christian, and Becky's, you know, as a uni student long time ago, was so nervous that at this point that she goes, okay, well, I think you kind of do this, but go and do it in your own room. sends her out and closes the door because it's too awkward for her to think about in kind of real time leading someone to become a Christian. So funny. Sometimes we can do that. God gives us an opportunity, and suddenly we have a classmate or a cousin or a friend who actually is asking us questions, and we're so worried that it will become aggressive or awkward or something that we as the Christian kind of close the door and shut it down. No, if someone's interested, this is a gift from God for you. What a blessing to be able to talk about your Saviour. And this is a gift that you are able to be from God to them How awesome is that? So let the conversation go and see where it goes, and gently even ask questions of the other person about their beliefs, about their faith, about where they're at, and even say, hey, look, can I give you this book? Can I send you this link? Would you like to come along to Citywide Gathering on the 23rd of July? Or would you like to watch this video of Becky Pippert or Andy Maskell or John Dixon, give that a listen? Or, here's a bit of the Bible. Would you be willing to read it? The person might say yes, that would be the big thing I'd say is think Christianly, pray Christianly, be open about your Christianity, and a lot of opportunities will come from there. Practice the light touch invite, I think, is a good one as well. I think sometimes we hold off inviting someone to find out more about Christianity because we do the thinking for them. We think three steps ahead and we think, oh, they're probably not interested. They're probably busy. They probably would think I'm Bible bashing, so I won't say anything. Or how will I persuade them and really persuade them? And gosh, that's going to be awkward if I try and persuade them. So I know what I'll do. I'll do nothing. No, just the light invite. Just send them a Facebook message with a link and say, hey, maybe you're not even interested, but Uni Fellowship is doing this thing, or my church is doing that thing. I'm going to go. Would you like to come too? I've watched it. Would you like to watch it? No big deal if it's not your kind of thing. Do you know what I mean? So you can test the waters, and by a gentle invitation like that, it's totally, totally, totally fine for the person to say, yeah, look, I'm really not interested. Thank you. And that's okay. But that's a way of then you finding out who is interested. And gosh, you might be surprised if actually you do a gentle invitation and say, oh, look, hey, got this thing coming up with church, got this thing coming up with Uni Fellowship, I've got a copy of the Gospel of Mark. Have you ever read the Bible? Would you like to do a Bible book club with me? And that kind of no big deal offer is a really safe offer in the scheme of things. Allows a person to say no with minimal awkwardness, but also you might get surprised how your really light invitation actually gets accepted. We'll wrap up soon, but any other, how long have we been going for? Forever. Any other questions, comments or questions people have about evangelism that you want to ask or want to share? Sharing your faith, talking about your faith, extending invitations to classmates, friends, strangers, whatever. Anything else out there? Feel free to just type it in a little chat thing. While I just wait to see if anyone's got any final questions, and it doesn't have to be about it, you can ask about anything else. If there's something else Christian-y, Unifellowship-y, or Christian-y, or Bible-y, or not, that you want to ask, totally feel free to just ask whatever other question or comment you want to talk about, and I might have an opinion on it, and that might be interesting too. In a few weeks we're going to shift these general kind of Facebook Lives that we've done for the last couple of months over into a Zoom event on Thursday Arvos, kind of late afternoon, 4 o'clock Zoom event, and we're going to be, it's going to be like a storytelling format where Uni Fellowship staff will take turns, and some student leaders and some local pastors, we hope, will take turns sharing something of their, how they became a Christian, how they got involved in Christian ministry activity, what have been people who've been really influential, and moments that have been really, I think it's going to be really interesting. Stories are always kind of intriguing, and learning things about someone that you didn't know about them before, and getting to know some other people around Uni Fellowship. I think that's going to be really cool. So that'll be the first one of those, will be with Christine and the Thursday of week one, so 16th of July I think it is, 4 o'clock, and it'll be on our Zoom, our main Zoom meeting room, and I think we're looking in to see whether we can then rebroadcast it as a Facebook Live the following Monday. If anyone knows how doable that is to use a pre-recorded thing and post it as a fresh Facebook Live. Let us know. That's a plan. So check those out. That should be good. If you're a student leader and would like to be one of those, tell your story. That would be really cool. And let us know. And if not, we'll dob you in maybe and ask you pretty please if you're willing to do it. It's I know it's a weird thing putting yourself out there on video like this, but can I just say that we really appreciate it when people do it. So if one of you guys who's watching does get asked by me or Alan or someone, would you be willing to do a little Zoom call and share your Christian ministry story? Give a good gutsy time to say yes, you know? I mean, like, you can be like Moses and Jeremiah. Ah, sovereign Lord, you don't understand. I'm not the person to do some live video thing. But why not? We'd love to hear from you, hey? And we'd love to hear your contribution. And you're worried about how weird you'll look or whatever. But actually, you'll just be you. And we like you. And we like people. And people are interesting. And by you being gutsy enough to say, oh, yeah, I'll be the... I'll be the volunteer to do a whatever it is, a Zoom call thing, and share my story. You're serving and blessing the rest of us, you know. So that'll be coming up. We're going to call it the Humans of Uni Fellowship, just like there's that Facebook page, the Humans of New York, just everyday people sharing something of their stories and their experience. Same kind of thing. So that'll be a cool thing, and definitely a thing that we hope you can maybe help us to tell people, you know, who are just getting to be a part of Uni Fellowship, help them be more of a part of Uni Fellowship by them getting to know a bit more about us, by getting to know the people involved a bit more. So if you know people who you reckon, you know, are showing some keenness to be part of Uni Fellowship and have come along maybe to a fellowship group or a few things, this could be a really great way to help them get to know us a bit better, especially in this weird sort of corona world that we've been in. So stay tuned for that. I'm looking forward to that and sharing a little bit of my story and hearing some of the other stories. That should be pretty cool, the Humans of Uni Fellowship. All right, any last questions? I'll give you another kind of 30 seconds or so. And if there are no other questions on evangelism or anything else, we'll shut down. 10, 9, 8. I rewatched that thing about Neil Armstrong and Buzz Aldrin and the Apollo 11. Mission, and wow, that movie is crazy. People going to the moon in 1960s technology, what a terrible idea. Extraordinary. You should check it out if you haven't seen it. First Man, it's called, and if you have Netflix, it's on Netflix. All right, that'll do. Nice hanging out with you guys. Have a great weekend. See ya.